I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And happy Wednesday. I am sometimes like so weirded out that we are in different time zones because it looks so bright and nice wherever you are. And it's, yeah, it's pretty much dark in London right now. So
yeah, it is literally 10 a.m. right now. I've literally lived an entire life before recording this episode. I went for a walk on the beach. I did some yoga. I had breakfast and then showered. I'm like, who am I? I could just like nap all day now.
Okay, Deep D, most people are literally working. We're like our magical lives, just solo traveling, literally just eating breakfast, just going on walks, seeing nature.
Hey, I'm coming back to reality in a few days, so I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
Can we be really honest with all of our pod besties right now? Solo traveling is not as amazing as Deep D and I make it out to be. Like, we were just talking about this before we pressed the record button. We're like, isn't solo traveling really tiring and really hard? And yet, like, on Instagram, I'm like, come with me to Galway. It is so magical here. And I went to this stop, and then I easily walked to this stop, and I sat here, had a Guinness, and watch to this. That is not how it is. Like, I'm lying to you on Instagram, okay?
So far solo travel has been amazing, but there is definitely some qualms about it that people don't realize and see. Just going to the airport and figuring out transportation as soon as you get off is probably one of the scariest things in a different country. I'm just like, what do I do? Where do I go? There's a language barrier. But the worst part is eating alone. I don't care who out there is like, oh my gosh, I love eating dinner alone. No, I hate it. I'm like, I'm a yapper. Like, I need friends drama. I need relationship drama. I need to like be talking about something.
No, like dinner is a social activity. It's not just eating food. I feel like breakfast and lunch you could do alone. Like, it's not a big deal. Yeah. You're just like grabbing something really quick and whatever. But dinner, you literally only go out to eat dinner to hear about some gossip, okay? Like, what, exactly. Like, what else do you do at dinner? But I totally agree. Like, I would love to say, like, I love eating alone 24/7. It is so awkward sometimes. Like, I went to dinner last night and I brought a book with me and I was staring at the same page, like not even turning it. And I realized, I was like, oh my God, like my waiter has not stopped by my table in like 30 minutes. He thought I was so engrossed in my book. And he's like, she's not ready to order. Like,
oh, it was even before ordering.
Yeah, because I was like, where have you been? I didn't say it like that, but I was like, hi, I'm ready. And they're like, oh, you know, I saw you just engrossed in your book and I didn't want to bother you. And I was like, oh, I was pretending because, oh, yes. I don't want to stare at the other patrons and make them feel uncomfortable.
Yes. You know, that's been my thing too. I have not gone out to dinner by myself here at all. Like, I've done breakfast because the place that I'm staying at now, it's like a little yoga retreat resort type place.
Ooh, okay.
And breakfast is included, but obviously you have to like go to the restaurant to eat it. I have been loving that because there's so many people who just come solo. Like, they're like, I'm leaving my family, you know, whatever. But dinner here, the waiter yesterday asked me, because he like works around, and I was sitting at the pool and he goes, did you make your reservation for dinner? I was like, no, I'll be seeing you for room service, sir. Like, I'm not sitting there.
I feel like you should just do it once to see if you enjoy or if you can eat dinner alone. It's
no,
weird,
Natalie,
though.
I know that I'm not going to enjoy it. And I've done so many uncomfortable things that I don't need to add this to the list because I've eaten breakfast and lunch by myself and it was uncomfortable. I literally opened my book and I also brought a book and I opened it. I read the same page like 18 million times and still didn't comprehend what I was reading.
That's what I'm doing. Or if I forget my book, I'll look at my phone, but I have nothing to look at. You know, after a long time, you're like, how many things can I look at? And I'm just staring at the lock screen.
Yes, because you know, my phone is so dry. I will leave my phone charging in the room and like go do a beach activity, come back. My phone is so dry. No messages except for my mom. Hey, are you alive?
I know. I literally wake up to no messages all day. It's like, I don't know. Are people leaving me alone because they know I'm traveling or do I just like no one cares about me anymore? Like I was like, what's going on? No, like dinner alone, yeah, it can be awkward. It's a hit and miss. Like sometimes I'll go at 4:45 when there's not a lot of people in there and I'm just like, okay, I could eat comfortably and go. But when you go at peak hour at like that 6, 6:30, 7, where there's tons of people, especially if you go somewhere popular and you're just sitting alone at the table. Like I always choose to try to sit and eat at the bar. So you're just staring at the bartender. But when you're at a table eating alone and that wait time between ordering your food and until you get your food and the bill too, like you just don't know what to do. Cause you're like, do I stare at other people? Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes I'll stare at someone or like stare somewhere in the restaurant, like in front of me. And then the person I'm accidentally staring at stares back at me and I'm like, oh my gosh, like they probably think I'm a creep. Like it's just very weird. I try to make it very clear I'm a solo traveler. I'm like, I'm solo traveling.
Yes. I do the same thing. I'm like, this is so fun. Like I'm solo traveling. Yeah. The first day I got here though, I made some friends, which was really nice. And they invited me to breakfast the next day. And that was like my very first breakfast here. And I was like, thank you so much. And then they left and I was like, oh, I'm sad.
They probably lied that they're leaving. They're like, we never want to see this girl again. I'm just kidding.
Could you imagine? I'm like, she's yapping too much. Clearly she hasn't been yapping at all to anybody.
You like start like literally pouring your like childhood trauma out at them. You're like, anyways.
What's funny is she's actually a psychologist. So I probably did a little bit of that.
You know what? I have a friend who's a psychiatrist. She's my college friend. Every time I talk to her, I do feel this like insecurity of being like, is she like analyzing me? Like she's like, this girl is toxic because of this reason. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how you can vent to a friend and like you vent about something like toxic you did and it's like, whatever. Like, yeah, they could think it's toxic, but like, who are they to judge me? But when you have a friend who's like a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you're like, oh, no, they could diagnose me. They could literally diagnose me and it's tough. Okay. I actually want to ask you this because I'm experiencing this right now, but do you have a white rhino? Do you know what that is?
No. Explain to me what a white rhino is.
Okay. I heard this from a friend like a few years ago, so I'm actually not sure if I really know what it is, but I think it's the one who got away because white rhinos are really rare or they're almost endangered or at least threatened. And so like a white rhino is the one that got away. I think that's the reason why it's called a white rhino, but it's someone that, the one that got away.
That makes sense because as somebody who went to South Africa, I can confirm that white rhinos are endangered.
Okay, thank you.
I would say I am two people's white rhino, but I don't have one. Is that like very conceited of me to say?
How do you know that you are someone's white rhino?
Because one, someone told me, because my college boyfriend reached out to me after the show and he basically, not in those exact words, but basically said that. And he's like, you know, it's still on the table. Like, I still care about you a lot. Like, I would love to like, you know, talk sometime. And I was like, no, you treated me like absolute shit.
You were like, no.
Yeah. You had the chance and I worshipped you and you treated me like shit. So good. Wait, do you have one?
I feel like I have one right now. Oh, I wasn't going to bring this up because this guy I've been seeing in London, not saying it got serious, but we've gone on multiple dates now. And he had this conversation with me at the end of our last date that happened recently. And then he goes, I think you need to figure out if you're staying in London and also like what you're looking for. And I always date for something serious, but I don't know if I'm going to come back to London like once I'm done solo traveling. So I was like, let me think about it. Like, I haven't really thought that far. I really like you. And then when I got home, I was like, you know what? it's unfair for me to continue dating him when I don't think I'm going to stay in London long term. Like, I'm already planning my other travels. Like, I already want to travel other places. And so, yeah, I texted him being like, you know what? I don't think that I'll be in London long term. And he's like, well, my job requires me to be in London long term. So that's just what it is. And it was just like a friendly, like, okay, well, had so much fun. Like, let's keep in touch. Let me know if you're ever in London sort of thing. Like, he was saying that to me. And a piece of me was like, oh my gosh, is he my white rhino? Like, it doesn't feel like it right now, but I think he will be my white rhino in a few months.
Aww.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do have to say you're a little delulu for considering him a white rhino already. But I think it's sweet.
You know how, like, when you're dating, you don't really know someone. So it's really easy to, like, imagine a life with someone. He's so nice. He's everything I want on paper. Like, he has a really amazing job. He's really smart. He's really good at communicating what he wants. And he's very understanding. And I've never dated someone like him before, like someone who is so mature. And he's 34, which he should be mature at that age. But, you know, like, well, men aren't always mature at 34.
Yeah, exactly. But
I think it was one of those things where I was like, okay, am I going to regret not staying in London and seeing where it goes? But then also I'm like, why would I stay in London for a guy I've only gone on a couple of dates with?
Yeah. You know? I honestly do think that you are supposed to meet this person for a reason. And I'm, you know me, I'm such like a little,
I know exactly
hopeless
what you're
romantic,
say.
But like, it almost feels like the invisible string theory too. What if like you connected and he moves back to the States at some point and you reconnect? Who knows? Like the future, it could be anything. I just feel like you're totally right and you're doing the right thing. I don't think that you should stay back for this person when you don't know him. What if you go to his place and it's super untidy? You know,
I've already seen his place and it's very clean and very nice. Okay, I don't think I ever shared like details about this guy on this podcast, but obviously Deep D knows more because I've been like texting her about my dates and things like that. So he's actually an American who is working here in London. And I feel like I shouldn't say any more just in case like someone puts two and two together.
Yeah, connects
like,
the
I don't want to like ruin it that much where he's like, are you talking shit about me on your podcast? That's kind of it. But anyways, I was just thinking about it where I was feeling, oh man, am I going to regret just heading off to the next spot? You know what? Like, I did the solo trip because I want to see the world. I want to do things new. And I was like, at the same time, I'm not going to let some guy I met that I really like stop that plan.
Yeah. And I'm a firm believer that what's meant for you will never miss you. And so I think you should just continue on. And when you're back in Chicago, like, who knows, if you're both still thinking about each other, you could probably message each other and be like, you know what, I'm going to come back to London for a week. Or, hey, like, he could be like, I'm going to come back and visit my family. Like, do you want to meet up? So it's like there's plenty of opportunities still for you to reconnect if he's still on your mind. So I don't know. I'm still hopeful for you.
You're right. Like, we'll see where it goes. But if it was the last time I saw him, he will be my white rhino.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Disease hit hard this year, huh?
Yeah. Mother Nature threw the kitchen sink at us. Tar spots, southern rust. We had everything.
I didn't know if my fungicide would hold, but Miravis Neo really came through. Even with that dry spell, our yield monitor did not disappoint.
Seriously?
Yep, and with results like this, I'm sticking with it.
No matter what next season brings, protect your ROI with Miravis Neo. Call your retailer to lock in your supply today. Always read and follow label instructions.
I think solo travel has made me so excited about meeting new people. And what I've been loving about it is just taking, I don't know, every situation for what it is. Like every single person that I meet, I feel like, oh, like I'm probably never going to see them again, but I've been loving my conversations with them. Specifically, I met this set, I think she's probably like 6 or 7 years old. Her name is Victoria, and she is a boss babe, Natalie. You would have loved her. Okay. So every day I just like go to the pool and just hang out and pretend to read.
Because you're like, I have no one to talk to.
I have no one to talk to, so I'm just chilling. And the best part about it is like, I'm constantly just like indirectly eavesdropping on people. Yeah. And there's this little girl at the pool, and she is there with like another family. So there's like other kids, and these kids are older than her. And this girl, she comes up to me and she goes, "Do you speak English, Spanish, or French?" And I was like, "What?" I was like, "English." And she goes, "That's the only language you know? I know three." And I was like, "What?" And like, usually when I have conversations with adults, it's like super chill. Like, "Hey, how are you? Where are you from? How long are you here?" This girl came in like with so much confidence, and she's like, "Can I use those pillows? I'm going to build a fort." And she's building a fort next to me, and she's just bossing around every single kid at the pool. This other little girl is like, "Hey, I'm going to go and like swim." And she goes, "No, you're not. We're building a fort. Like, you're going to stay here and help me." And she's like, "Okay."
This girl sounds like my worst enemy.
But she's just so confident, and it's not like she's being mean about it. She's just like stern, but like polite stern. I don't know. She's like, I loved her, but I felt so bad because she came up to me and she goes, "Hey, so I built this fort. Like, I need to go take a nap. Can you watch it and make sure the workers don't take it down?" And I was like, sure, like I'll try my best, you know.
Yeah.
5 minutes after she left, there was these giant iguanas that like tried to come up onto people, and one of them bit one of the people here. So I was like, I gotta go. I'm not playing with this dinosaur that is here.
So literally.
I literally got up and left, and I was like, I felt so bad walking back to my room because I was like, I had to break a promise to a 6-year-old. Like, I am literally the worst.
Oh my God, that's fine. Oh, you know what? Victoria really sounds scary. I can't tell if it's the fact you're imitating her voice. So I'm like thinking she sounds like you with an attitude. And I'm like, excuse me. Like, I can't even imagine this 6 and 7 year old being like, "Can you watch my fort?"
Okay,
I'd be have to say. No.
Okay, maybe I was being a little too stern, but like, she's actually really sweet. She's a sweet little girl, and she was just like very confident in what she wanted to say. And I think that's what I was trying to get across. But maybe I'm coming off too mean.
I don't know. I was like, she sounds like Regina George. I was like,
She's definitely got a little bit of attitude to her, but like in a good way.
Oh, like sassy 7-year-old.
Yeah,
like, love sassy. That.
Yeah, exactly. I even talked to her dad, and I was like, "Yeah, she's a born leader." And he goes, "I know. I don't know where she gets it from, but I'm scared." But I saw her later at the resort, and I literally saw her from a distance. I was like, "I'm going the other way."
You're like, "I didn't keep my promise." She probably remembers you and be like, "This bitch,
this bitch,
this bitch." Like, knew it.
So funny, but. Anyways, I was trying to be a girl's girl, but I didn't quite live up to my promise there. And I feel guilty about that.
You know what? One thing about kids, I was like, they need experience disappointment, okay? Because the world is real. The world, you know, I used to be such a sheltered little kid. And then, you know, you really experience it and you just realize everyone sucks.
Yeah.
And you have to work for the rest of your life.
Yeah. She's already working.
Have you thought about that? Like, we have to work for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
Even if you're a stay-at-home parent, even if we end up being like stay-at-home parents, like that's still work. Regardless of who you are, where you're, like, you still have to work for the rest of your life.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, even when I do the dishes, like I wash my dishes, and I was like, I'll be washing my own dishes till I'm 90 years old.
Yes.
Like, isn't that so crazy to think about?
Yes. Do you remember that movie 13 going on 30, and where she like grows up as 30, and she's like, wait a minute, being an adult is awful. It's not awful, fun. Yeah. Be a kid for as long as you possibly can, because adulting is like, I can't believe I have to pick out what to eat for dinner every night. Like, what? I miss when my mom would just be like, here's your food. I'm like, thank you.
I know, for real. It's crazy. But, yeah. You know, here we are. Here we are, some 30-something year olds. We're like, stay a kid forever. All right, we got to talk about this Sarah, Joey, Monica situation that's still happening right now. If you don't remember them, they are the cast members from Love is Blind season 8. We're just going to give you the context again if you forgot. So Joey and Monica obviously didn't get married on the show. And then Sarah and Joey are allegedly dating right now. The big issue is, according to Monica, she was venting to Sarah about Joey. Sarah was consoling her about Joey. I don't know if they're close friends, but they had some sort of friendship. And Monica is hurt because she's essentially like, Sarah went behind my back and started dating Joey, even though she was like acting like a friend to me and I was like venting to her. So Sarah right now is getting a lot of hate. Like, people are like, Sarah backstabbed Monica. Sarah's a shitty ass friend. And then Sarah came out with a statement recently on her Instagram, and I'll read to you what she said. So this is an Instagram post. She says, I didn't want to respond, but I do need to defend my character. What has been said is exaggerated and misleading. The timeline is inaccurate. At no point was I consoling Monica while secretly going behind her back. Our recollections of the conversation we had are very different. I wish Monica the best and hope we can move forward.
Ooh,
short and sweet.
Yeah, I'm like so conflicted with the situation, and not that like my opinion really matters here, but I saw a video of Monica in an interview, like kind of recounting the situation. And she basically was like, Sarah was sitting on my couch, like in my apartment, which kind of shows like, oh, they are friends, because why are they like having one-on-one time in their private space, right? And she was saying how apparently Sarah was saying how she has her back and was like very supportive. And if she needs anything, she's always going to be there for her. Meanwhile, you know, she's like hanging out with Joey. So I think that's where the betrayal comes in. And it's not the fact that she's with Joey. It's the fact that she thought that there was a friendship there, and like she wasn't upfront.
There was a friendship.
Yeah. Monica thought that there was a friendship there, and she went not behind her back, but she was omitting a big part of, you know, her private life. And I think that's where the hurt comes in. And I kind of get it. I understand it.
Even if they weren't besties for the resties. Like,
okay, Dr. Seuss.
Even if they weren't BFF forever, like, they were still friends. And you're totally right. Like, they were close enough where Sarah was able to come to Monica's house, and they were chit-chatting. And okay, what I thought was really weird about Sarah's statement is it's so short. For someone who wants to defend her character, it's like giving nothing.
Yes.
It's something, but it's nothing. And she doesn't really deny anything either. Like, she says, at no point was I consoling Monica while secretly going behind her back. That says to me that I feel like that's a play on words, where she wants people to think she wasn't consoling Monica. But I think what she's trying to say is like, yeah, she did console Monica, but she wasn't dating Joey at the time. Like, it happened after. And I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And she's talking about like timelines. I'm like, show me the timeline. Like, it's just he said, she said at this point. And it's like, first of all, this is exhausting. And I know like Monica is hurt by it. But okay, this is what kind of also like made me think a little bit, because then Joey is doing his own little interviews. And he said that Monica was in a relationship since Joey. So he's basically like, why does it matter? And I'm like, okay, that's kind of like an added thing to it. But I'm still on Monica's side. I could see why she would be upset.
Yeah, because I think it's less about Joey now. It's the fact that Sarah went behind her back. Right. Like, exactly. I don't think there's any feelings between Monica and Joey anymore. There might have been feelings that were brought back up because you're watching the show, but I think it's less about Joey now, but more so the fact that Monica feels like Sarah backstabbed her. And I'm not going to lie, I am on Monica's side. I know people are like, Monica, give it a rest. Like, you broke up with Joey. Like, are you really close with Sarah? It doesn't matter, because there was still a friendship there. She still trusted Sarah enough to vent to her. And here's the thing about Sarah, too, where I feel like she knows she did something wrong and this post is intentionally vague, because she had no problem exposing text between her and Ben via TikTok. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, Sarah, you had all the receipts there and you were very clear with your timeline. So why are you being vague here? Like, I think she knows she did something wrong as a friend to Monica. And I don't blame Monica for going all out on social media to like tell her side of the story. I don't think it's always the right thing to do. I think she should keep it private. But I feel like when you are so emotional about something and so hurt, it's kind of natural to be like, I'm going to talk about it and clear it up. Because I want people to know.
Especially when the public now has an opinion. And I think the worst part about this whole thing is the fact that Monica found out that there was something happening between Joey and Sarah at the reunion. And you're already like heated with emotions just based on everything else that's happening. And so adding on a layer, and the way she found out was Vanessa apparently being like, hey, like Joey and Sarah, like, is there something going on between you two? And obviously they denied it, but that's what sparked the conversation between Sarah and Monica. And Monica had to literally ask her, be like, hey, like, I've been hearing a lot of things. Can you tell me what's going on and be honest with me? And so Sarah wasn't even forthcoming with the information. Monica had to go look for it and be like, hey, can you tell me what's happening? I think that's like the shadiest part of it. Like, who cares if you're dating Joey or there's feelings there? If you were just upfront about it, then there would be no conflict.
Because wouldn't you be pissed if I was dating Shake right after the show behind your back? Because you and Shake didn't have any feelings. You were dating Kyle at this point. So it's like, you were over it. But wouldn't you still be hurt? Because we weren't best friends when the show was airing. But we were close friends. Like, all of the women on the cast were pretty close.
I would honestly probably be like, hey, you need to go to a psychologist. Because what is wrong with you?
You'd be like, girl, are you sure you're making the right choice? I'm worried for you.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I know that the show really impacted our lives, but like, are you okay? You good, girl?
You'd be like, did you watch the same show I did?
Yeah.
That's what I think about Sarah. I was like, you watched Joey and you were like,
This situation is so like, it's not going to matter in a few months. Like, to them, I know it feels like very exasperated. Is that the word? Exasperated at the moment. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm so glad I'm not Joey, Monica, or Sarah right now.
Well, duh. I wouldn't want to be either of them. Like, it's so stressful when this is playing out publicly. But I will say I'm team Monica 100%. Actually, I'm really no one's team. But if I had to choose a team, it'd be team Monica, because I totally get being hurt by like someone who you considered a friend and now they're dating your ex, regardless if you still have feelings for that ex or not. Yeah, but that's our opinion on this situation. But we just need to talk about it, because I feel like even though I don't want to see it on my feed on Instagram or TikTok, it still shows up. Like, I still get some sort of update. I still see Monica's face or Joey's face like talking about it. I'm like, okay, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I have no choice but to listen to it, because I think I linger on the TikTok a little too long and I'm like, what did she say? And then I'm like, next is Joey. Okay. And then it's Sarah. So,
no, literally. I feel like this is kind of juicy. Sometimes I wish they did an After the Altar so we could see how like these things play out. But After the Altar takes so long to produce that we probably, even if they filmed right now, we wouldn't get an update until like 2026.
Yeah, like Joey and Sarah won't even be a thing by the time the show airs.
Exactly.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills, and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Speaking about TikTok, I saw this TikTok about how ugly slash average looking people have better personalities and better work ethic. Like, it is scientifically proven. I don't know if it actually is. But you know what I learned from that TikTok is, like, I must be so beautiful because I would call my personality like subpar. And I was like, I must be so beautiful. Like, I don't even know it, because how can I have such an average personality?
That's funny, because I think I'm the opposite. I had to rely on my personality to get through life in general. So I'm like, oh, I know I'm average. I mean, I think I am beautiful. That is my affirmation.
I was going to actually say the opposite. I think you're so beautiful. That's why you have an average personality. I don't know why you think you have a good one. Like, that's so crazy.
How dare you?
You're a narcissist. Okay.
How dare you?
Like, that is so crazy that you think you have an amazing personality that got you through life. What do you mean got you through life? We're barely hanging on half the time. That's what we talk about the most. We're always like, how are we going to get through this week?
Okay, but that, see, that's the thing. Like, after I had a little bit of a glow up, my personality faded a little bit. And I was like, I am so tired. The world has done me so wrong. I've been through too much. And I'm like, now just like a smaller personality. But when I was growing up, you should have seen me, dude.
You were funny. You were like, you were.
It's not even really funny. I just had a good personality. Like, it was really easy to get along with people. And I just, like, I shine the spotlight on them. So it's like, you know, they just feel comfortable to tell me their deepest, darkest secrets. That is my secret weapon with friendships. And people that are quick, like, even on this trip, like solo trip, I've met so many people. And I'm like, why do I know this tea? I was talking to one of the girls here. She literally left her boyfriend and his family and just chatted with me for 3 hours straight at the pool. And I'm like, why are you telling me so much teacher drama? She's a teacher. And she goes, if only you knew the drama that is going on in my high school that I teach at. And I was like, why are you telling me this? And can I tell it on the podcast?
You're like, okay. Isn't that the most fun though? I will say I probably tell the most to strangers. Like, people I know I'll never see again, like, our paths will not cross. Actually, one thing I do often when I solo travel is I lie a lot to other people.
Yeah, okay.
Because I also don't know, like, you have to, like, for safety.
Do you mean like small fibs, like, oh, like my boyfriend's waiting for me at the hotel or like things like that? I'll say like small things like that, but is that what you mean?
Yeah. You like lie about where you're staying and like what neighborhood you're staying and like why you're solo traveling. And sometimes it's easy to lie a little bit more. Like, you can't help yourself to make it, you seem more like exciting.
Yes. Oh my God. One time when I was staying at my old Airbnb, like just a week ago, I went horseback riding and I told every family a different place, but I'm sure the families could overhear me. They're probably like, didn't you say you were in Playa Flamingo? And then I was like, no, I was in Las Catalinas. And I was like, wait, I'm lying to different people. Can't we keep the story straight?
I do that too. I was in line for a popular restaurant here in London. It's called Noodles Inn. And there's a long line. And I was like, I'm just going to wait in it. Like, why not? And the couple in front of me start a conversation with me at one point. And like, they were really kind, but I was getting like these vibes of like, I feel like they're asking me too many questions. Oh. So they asked me, they were like, oh, like, are you here traveling with a friend? I was like, yeah, she's going to meet me like later, probably like, you know, when we get closer to the front of the line. And like maybe 10 minutes later, the waiter of the restaurant comes outside and he's asking everyone, like, you know, how many people are in your party? Because if there's a bigger table that opens up, like, he'll take a larger party and seat them first. And he comes to me and he goes, how many people in your party? I go, one. And they stare at me. And I was like, oh, it's because I just lied that my friend's about to meet me.
Yes. Me at all times.
Well. And you kind of feel awkward and you're standing there and I'm just like looking at my phone, just typing in whatever, like in my calculator, just like boop, 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 like putting in numbers.
Yes. Oh my God. That is totally the other day I went on a boat and it was just me, myself, and I. No one else came on this boat. And it is not like a big, nice boat. It's like a dinky boat. And we are going so far out there. I had to tell this man, I was like, oh yeah, like my friend's waiting for me, because he could have just taken me out to sea and I would just been gone.
Oh, like, that's it was just you and like whoever was like manning the boat.
Yeah, it was just the captain and me. And I could tell he was just like, this is boring because it was just me. And I'm not going to lie, though, I saw a whale. I'm so excited
that's
about
really
that.
Cool.
Dolphins and turtles, whatever. But I could tell he was bored because he was just like on his phone a lot of the time. And I was like, why are you going so slow? And we're really far away from shore. Like, I'm good to go
like
back.
I don't like that. I'd be like, my husband's waiting for me. He's expecting me in 30 minutes. We have to be back in 30 minutes. Oh, no. Okay. Yep. I actually brought this like fake ring that has like this gem on it. And it looks like a wedding ring or an engagement ring.
That's so smart.
And sometimes I'll wear it. Like if I am in a place, like, for example, when I was in Dublin, when I was walking around like later at night, like drunk men would kind of, you know, when they know you're like a female by yourself, they'll like ask questions and I'd be like, my husband, like I pull up my hand and be like, yes, I'm just shopping for my husband. He's just sick in our hotel room. Like, don't you worry. Yeah, I'm a
freak. That's so funny. I love how I agreed with you. Like, yeah, I know that. No, yeah. I've been in bed by 8 p.m. every single night here.
Same.
So I can't.
People are like, why don't you go out late at night? Like, why don't I ever see like content of you like going out to pub? I was like, ma'am, I'm 33. Those days are long gone, okay? I was like, I don't have the energy for that. If I'm walking around all day looking at these sightseeing things, I was like, you think I want to stay out later to go to a pub?
Also, I'm trying to be my best self. If I need to defend myself in any way, you think I'm going to tamper with that by drinking? Like, there's no chance.
I need to be alert 100%. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, being a female in this world is really hard work. Lots of planning. Yeah. Men would never understand what we get through.
No.
You think they think about like they have to wear a fake wedding ring around to feel safe? Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think so.
I am so hypervigilant when I'm traveling, and especially now, I'm not putting myself in any situation that can cause my mother any pain because she's been through enough. Like, it's not happening.
For real. You know what's so crazy? Well, you know what I was thinking about? Our parents are probably so worried about us being like, oh, they're probably making such bad decisions. I was like, they have no idea. We are the most vigilant, safe little women you could ever know. No one's more vigilant than short Asian women living in Chicago, okay?
My mom is always like, oh my God, you give me so much anxiety. And I think it's because you're a middle child. But I was like, mom, I am so much more unsafe in Chicago. Like, I get wasty pants. And I'm out, like, walking home at 11 p.m.
Oh, you remember? And I have walked home at very unsafe hours of the night when DP and I used to walk home late from the bars. Like, we would only be like 3 blocks away from our apartment. So we're like, it just, we're so close. It feels longer to wait for an Uber. We would literally make these crazy ass noises on our way home so people stayed away.
Correction, guys, pod besties, Natalie makes weird ass noises. I don't know why, but I cannot embarrass myself. I'm just like too sensitive, I think. I care about what other people think of me. Natalie does not. She literally was like, Deep T, walk like this. And it's like literally her walking, the weirdest I've ever seen anyone walk. And she goes, no one will want to touch us.
Like, if a man's like, looking good, ladies, I was like, there you go.
And I'm like, I know I'm safe when I'm with Natalie because no one is kidnapping us.
I'll scare a man away.
Meanwhile, the people pleaser in me is like, oh, you want me to put my hands out to handcuff me? Like, I can jump in the van if that helps you. I'll open the door.
You want to kidnap me?
Can I just text my mom really quickly? She'll be worried about where
I am. Literally.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
But okay, going back to personalities. See, I think we have really good personalities and we're beautiful. I think we just won the lottery, Natalie.
I don't know, because right now I have cystic acne, IBS, GERD.
Doesn't feel like I won the lottery.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more to add to the list. I just can't think of it. I try to do like affirmations every morning of like what I'm thankful for and why I love myself. And lately, my affirmations have been more like thinking about why I'm riddled with so many stomach issues. And it makes me actually very ungrateful. I'm not going to lie.
Mine is every morning I do like, I am beautiful, I'm strong, whatever. I am a magnet to abundance, whatever, like that.
But I have an average personality. Like, you're like, I'm so beautiful. I have an average personality and I'm thankful for that.
Never. Thank God. Never me. But I also do like, I release everything that no longer serves me. You need to be like, I release any IBS symptoms of the day.
I wish I could wake up every day and be like, I release my IBS, my acid reflux symptoms, my cystic acne. I've been also getting dandruff here in London. And so that's another thing to add to the list because of like the hard water compared to Chicago. But anyways, it's fine.
This is your opportunity to work more on your personality and less on the physical symptoms then.
You know what? I realize the world really isn't fair. The world isn't fair. Like people always say like hot girls have IBS. And I was like, average girls have IBS too, okay? Like, someone make a shirt about that. Let me tell you.
But I do have to say, like, super attractive people, I feel like sometimes don't have to rely on their personality. I find really, really, really hot men very boring. Okay, I shouldn't be mean. I should say a lot of the hot men, not all, a few of the hot men that I've met are just duds, like straight duds. I'm just like, is there anything going on up there?
Yeah, you know what I realize? The older I get, I do care about personality way, way more.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
I agree. Kind of. I mean, there's a few other qualities, but yeah, mostly that.
Maybe that's why people aren't loving the show With Love, Megan. So it's that show on Netflix produced by Meghan Markle, and it obviously stars Meghan Markle as well. And she's just entertaining her friends and family at this beautiful California home. And I feel like people are really hating on the show because people are saying her personality is a little bit boring. The show is super curated. But can I just tell you, I think it's because she is so beautiful. That's why she has more of like a calmer personality. If I was as beautiful as Meghan Markle, I would have the same personality, okay? Like, I don't think it's curated. I think she's just like this like la-la-lee type of woman.
A lot of people when the show came out said I look like her, so I'll take that as a compliment to myself. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God, you do look like Meghan Markle.
That is crazy. I do not. She is way more beautiful.
But no, oh my gosh, you look like Meghan Markle. That is so crazy. I never got that compliment. I remember I said somewhere, like, people are like, who do you look like? And I always say Sandra Oh, and they're like, no, bitch, don't offend Sandra Oh like that. And I was like, oh.
No, that's exactly how I felt when people were like, you look like Meghan Markle. I'm like, no, I don't. Like, she is way more beautiful.
You think Meghan Markle's like, huh?
Yeah, she's like, please don't. How dare you? I'm a Walmart version.
Stop. No, you're not. You do look like Meghan Markle, though. Meghan Markle from India.
Tiny. Yeah, Meghan Markle from India. No, okay. I really tried to give this show a chance. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to ignore the internet's hate towards her specifically and the show. And I have to say, the first two episodes, I was just like, Megan, why are you talking to your guests as if they are children? And the fact that she was just Yeah, it's way too curated. And I'm just like, oh my God, I can see why it comes off very inauthentic. Like, she opens her refrigerator and there's literally mason jars full of like little herbs in there. I'm like, this is not realistic. You're literally at a studio setting. And she has like bees in the backyard. I'm like, you don't have bees at home. Like, why are you pretending that you get fresh honey from the beehive? Like,
no, I loved it. I loved it.
It's fake.
I know, but I loved it. It might not be fake. She might be living another level of life that we will never understand because we don't have the money for it. But I loved it. It was a little sneak peek into like what my life could be like if I married a prince and, you know, was a better person.
Well, the problem with it is that she's kind of like insinuating that she's made these beautiful things. Like when she decorated the cake, I'm like, who made that cake and put it there for you to be decorating it? You know, or like she goes to her little pantry and just has like candles everywhere, like jars that she can make candles with. I'm just like, no one has that. But maybe that's the lore of it all, right? You know, she's just living life in this like crazy different way than we're used to. And I think I liked that part of it. So I don't know. I fall somewhere in the middle.
You see people like Martha Stewart, Barefoot Contessa, same thing, very curated, like this like perfect life of hosting and making food. And I love those types of shows, but it's also same thing. Like, it seems unachievable, like with Love, Megan. It's just, you know, we're just watching like a curated show. So I'm like, why is she getting so much backlash?
But I also think that another layer that's added on to that is people like Martha Stewart or even Barefoot Contessa. Like, they are actual chefs and they are in the realm of like hosting and creating like meals and have a talk show based around that, whereas Megan is an actress and then a Sussex. So I think like her trying to be in this
a Sussex.
I think her just trying to be in this space is just feels awkward and entirely too put together. You know, I don't know.
I really liked it. I love that curated shit. I think about it, like watching her show is like watching my Instagram feed, right? Anyone who watches my travel vlogs where I was like, I love solo traveling. I'm having the best time of my life. It's like that, and except in show form. Like, everyone's curated. Yeah. Everyone is curated.
No, I agree. I agree. And I found it to be an easy watch. I actually like found it comforting to watch it and knowing that I will never achieve that. And I think that's what it's good for. But I do think that there's certain elements of it where it felt very, very forced. And like even when they would like edit in her laughs, I'm like, what are you laughing at? Like, you said nothing funny.
You know what I was thinking? If we had a show called With Love, Natalie and Deep D, you know those mason jars, it would be like, you know, spaghetti jars that we reuse. Like, we kind of clean it out and take off like the label, and it has like still like the little stickiness all over it. Those would be where we keep our little herbs in the fridge.
Absolutely. And you know, there's like plasticware with like curry rings or like turmeric rings. That would be us. Just kidding. My mom doesn't do that anymore.
We're like serving off the plastic containers that we got from like our Chinese takeout a few days before that we just like that we washed and just reused.
Yes, absolutely. We're not wasteful, okay? We like to recycle things, and that is truly us as immigrants.
Tell me, being children of immigrants, like sometimes, you know, the red solo cups? I will wash them and reuse them one more time. I hate to be that person. I hate to be that person, but I will be that person, okay? It's just something I learned, you know, being raised in my family. Like, what can I say?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure every Indian family out there has the same silverware and plates. It's the plates with the little blue flowers around the edge. I swear, every Indian family has those plates.
Tell me, every Korean, truly, like, if you go to a Korean home, you know you're in a Korean home. Like, every chopstick, every spoon, like, we use those, like, big-ass spoons. They all look the same. And you know what? Yeah. I love it. But that would be what our show looks like. We'd be like, yes, this looks like a cookie tin, but it actually has our sewing kit in it.
yes. The little steel boxes, the sewing ones, have all of our spices in them in like circles. That's called our spice box, baby. Yeah. Oh, I love my spice box.
You know, I love little curated shows when something looks like I can't achieve it. It's out of curiosity. I was like, okay, like, if I had a bunch of money and was friends with famous people, like, what would my life look like?
Yeah, I have to say I do. I enjoyed the episodes where she had somebody who actually knew what they were doing on. Like when she would have chefs come on, I was like, oh, I really enjoyed that episode. But it must be so exhausting to be famous. Like, for example, okay, the whole Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, Hailey drama. Like, I cannot imagine being them right now. Like, it must be so exhausting to have the internet create such a feud for so many years over a relationship that ended so long ago. So Selena actually put out a new album recently. I'm so excited for it because it's been forever since we got new music from her. But the album is called I Said I Love You First. And there's a couple songs on there that fans are speculating that could be a little bit of shade to Justin and potentially Hailey. But the one song that everyone's speculating is called How It Feels to Be Forgotten. And Natalie, it is so good.
But why do they think it's about Justin?
If you listen to the lyrics, it's basically like, you're so embarrassing. Go cry when no one's watching. I can't imagine how it feels to be forgotten. And so fans are speculating this, but Selena did come out and say that this song or this album is not really about that. It's about friendships. It's also about a past version of herself and how she handled grief. But if you really listen to the song, you can like insert Justin in there and be like, oh, that's shade to Justin. And
oh yeah,
you know, for the plot, I'm gonna say that it's about Justin.
Okay, yeah, that's so messy because I did hear about this song and I looked at some of the lyrics and I was like, okay, I could see why people would assume it's about Justin, because obviously that was her big other like public relationship. But it feels like she's always pitted against Hailey because of the internet. But also Selena has said some things too, where she kind of makes it known that there is some tension between her and Hailey Bieber.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think what the difference is, and that's what's crazy about being famous, is the fact that the internet and the public are adding more spotlight to it than it needs to be. Like the exes that I hate who have moved on and gotten married, I never think about them.
Okay, true. And
that's the thing. Yeah. But with this couple or this ex-couple, I feel like the internet has pitted them against each other so much to the point where we're speculating that certain songs are about each other. And like,
yeah,
it's probably not even that deep, but the internet makes it so deep. And it's like, if I were them, I'd be so stressed out.
No,
especially Hailey.
Yeah. Don't you feel like, though, there must be some truth if like this has been going on for so long? Like, I saw a TikTok maybe a couple of days ago where Hailey liked a shady TikTok about Selena, and it must have been an accidental like. She must have been like, you know, scrolling. I've accidentally liked weird TikToks where you like some like crazy ass TikTok. You're like, oh my God, like I didn't mean to like that. And yeah, like, this is so weird. I feel like it was that scenario where like she liked it and unliked it. Hailey's team did say that like was Photoshop, so someone screenshotted it and like shared it on TikTok.
Could you just imagine though that, okay, and that has happened to me before too. I like randomly favorite videos or like I followed people accidentally and I'm like, when did I follow this person? But that just means it was like an accident. Like imagine her whole FYP is just like Selena hate, because curated.
That's what I'm saying. It's like probably like her whole feed is about like how Selena and Hailey have all this drama. Like, can you imagine? Yeah.
No, that's.
I feel like that online drama that people created would become my actual real life drama. I'd be like, wait, do I have a feud with this person still?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that has to take a toll on her. And I just can't imagine, though, like after this whole 7-part series that came out, where it literally like lays out Hailey's digital footprint. And there is some hard evidence against Hailey, like just being super obsessed with Justin and Selena. But I could not imagine being Justin and like watching that and then looking over and being like, did I marry my stalker?
Okay, wait. So I saw a clip of this interview that Hailey did, I think a few years ago. And someone's asking her, did you know Justin before marrying him? She goes, oh, I like barely knew him. But we find out there's evidence like she was a super fan. Like she was a believer, okay?
Yes.
Like she 100%. Was a super fan of Justin. And I was like, girl, why lie? If I was in her shoes, I'd be like, hell yeah, I was the biggest fan. I had a poster of him in my fucking room. Of course you heard about Justin Bieber. He was everywhere. He was everywhere 10 years ago. Literally, like everyone had a crush on him almost.
Yeah.
So... You know what? I think it's just like those small things, but I totally get it. I guess if I was like dating someone I was the biggest fan of, like who did I have like a big celebrity crush on? Like if I was married to Ryan Gosling after being a huge fan of Ryan Gosling, like back in the day, and someone asked me like, did you know Ryan Gosling before marrying him? I think actually I would say the same thing. I'd be like, nope, never heard about that man. Never heard his name until I said I do at the altar.
Yeah, little did she know at that time that everything was going to come back and bite her in the ass, because even Justin went on Ellen DeGeneres, the show, like a few years ago. Demi Lovato was hosting it and she's like, how did you meet Haley? And he's like, oh, like she didn't want to come to set that day, but her dad forced her. And I'm like, you know, that's a lie. And
she's like, I'm ready.
He's like, let's go, dad. But he said three times in that interview, he was like, I think it was an arranged marriage. Oh, my God. Now that I think about it, that was an arranged marriage. And I'm like, Justin, you've been duped. That was an arranged marriage.
Like, good for Haley then. You know what? Good for Haley. If I was in her shoes, I'd love to say like I would own up to it. But it's kind of embarrassing to be like, I was my husband's biggest fan, literally. Yeah. You know, like,
yeah. She can't take it back now. She's gone too far. She better deny that to the rest of her eternity.
No, literally. I was like, you know what? I don't blame her. That's so sad, though. It's so hard because I think we look at celebrities and we're like, they don't have feelings. Like, they're used to it. But we had a very, very little taste. I mean, we're not celebrities, but we had a very little taste what it feels like to have so much attention and people talking about you. And it's hard not to pay attention to it. I remember when Shane and I were going after each other on social media, it would show up on my For You page all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I would make an active effort to like go to those posts. And you know how you could click not interested so it never shows up again? Like I really had to curate my page. But I think like Instagram and TikTok knows like if it's a post about you saying your name, like they're like, we're going to show you it.
And have you seen recently, because it was the 5-year reunion and they did that like top 5 moments, it has really like inspired people to be like showing clips from old seasons. And we are on there quite a bit. And I'm like, oh my God, the fact that I'm reliving Shake's moments and like the things that I said, I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this feeling at all. Like, I just want to forget it. I never want to see that footage again. But it's like been popping up on my FYP and I'm like, nope, nope, nope. No, thank you.
same like the scene of Shane calling me Shayna, that was obviously edited. The fight was about Deep D, but I've been tagged in that like 50 times and I'm like, what do you want me to say? Why are you tagging me in this?
I wouldn't forget.
So I could watch it 100 more times, like, but you know what, so I feel her because like again we have a little taste and it does, like I feel like regardless of how long you're in the spotlight, I feel like there's no way it does not impact your self-confidence and your mental health.
Yeah. The internet can be such a scary place if you don't have a good relationship with it. And especially this drama, like I'm sure it's taking a toll on Haley. If I were her, I would just be chronically offline. I would never show up on the internet again because she doesn't need to.
For real. I would go rogue. But, you know, even though the right choice is to be chronically offline, I feel like some people love the attention where they're like, we're never leaving it.
Well, anyways, Pod Besties, let us know what you think about the Justin Haley Selena drama. And if you have not listened to the new Selena Gomez album, please go listen to it. And you guys know where to find us. Just DM us or comment on any post.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe. See you next Wednesday.
Bye.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.